Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're talking to Donovan Gordon. He's the executive director of the Geothermal Association. Is that what it's called?
Well, it's called the Long Island Geothermal Energy Organization.
Okay, close enough. All right. So tell me why, can you briefly explain what geothermal is supposed to do?
Okay, there's several definitions or understandings of geothermal. When people think of geothermal, they're thinking of like what's in Iceland, where you drill thousands of feet down into...
Well, in Iceland, it's not thousands of feet either.
Right. It could be hundreds of feet, right? Yeah. But you drill down to hot rocks and you bring up and create steam to create electricity. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about geothermal heating and cooling, which is really sort of a low-temperature geothermal technology where you drill mostly around 200 feet.
That's if you're going vertical.
That's if you're going vertical. That's correct.
You can actually do it in 6 feet.
You can do it 6 feet if you go horizontal, but you just need a lot of land space.
You need a lot of flat space to do that.
Yeah, there's several ways to do it. They have what they call open loop, which you're really tapping into the water supply in the ground. Or you could do a closed loop where it's a closed environment, it's grouted, and you put in a water-based solution to create the heat exchange. So fundamentally, the geothermal technology that I'm talking about is a heat exchange between the Earth's temperature, which in the Northeast, once you go 5 feet below the surface, averages about 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
Now, how much difference does it get when you go 200 feet? Does it change very much?
No, it only changes once you start getting down about 1,200 to 1,500 feet, where it starts getting warmer.
It'll get warmer at that point.
Yes, and actually, it's interesting that the deeper you go, you're getting the heat actually from the Earth's core. But the geothermal heating and cooling, or geothermal heat pumps, that's what we call it, it's really a solar technology. The sun radiates heat on the Earth, and almost half of that heat is absorbed by the Earth. And that's really what we're tapping into. So the biggest solar panel on the Earth is the Earth itself.
So in the middle of the winter, you don't have sun beating down at the Earth in the same way you would have it in the summer.
That's correct, but it maintains 55 degrees. They call it the caveman technology. I mean, cavemen actually dug tunnels. It wasn't like they walked straight into a cave. They dug down. And again, once you go 5 feet, particularly in the Northeast, the further south you go, the warmer it gets. So it may warm up to 65 or 70 degrees. But I'm just talking specifically Northeast. No matter how hot or how cold it is on the surface, once you go below 5 feet, they call it below the frost line, it's about 55 degrees constantly.
Well, a testament to that is the basements in Brooklyn, when I was a kid, were occupied in the summertime by the people who lived there because it was cooler below grade.
That's geothermal. That's the geothermal technology we're talking about. So we're basically harnessing that temperature and bringing it into the home through a heat exchanger, okay, which is a refrigerant, and you can manage that temperature from 55 degrees, which it comes in up to 120.
Is exactly what refrigeration technology is. It's like taking heat from one place and putting it in another.
Your refrigerator is a heat pump.
Yes.
Same technology.
Yeah. So you're taking heat out of the refrigerator and throwing it out the back of the refrigerator.
Yes. So what we're doing now, in the case of the summer, we're taking heat out of the home and putting it into the ground. And in the winter, we're extracting the heat from the ground, which is 55 degrees, which is warmer than the surface temperature, and bringing that into the home.
But it's not warm enough to keep me warm.
Well, that's correct. But through a refrigerant, we compress that into a gas, and through a duct system, we force the forced air throughout the home. So
I want to live in an environment where it's 70 degrees in the house. At the groundwater, the ground temperature 6 feet or more, or 200 feet more or more, is only 55. And now we're going to convert that 55 into
I need. Up to 120 degrees. That's correct.
All right. To help you understand this concept, and I think you understand it, I have a hot cup of tea in my hand. That hot cup of tea, I also have a pond in the back of the house. It's frozen over in the wintertime. That cup of tea has more or less heat than that frozen pond.
Has to be an engineer or a science question here.
Well, it's a way to understand it.
Well, the way to understand it is that, again, once you get a certain depth under the ground, the temperature is constant. Okay.
Well, let's
really what we're saying here.
Yeah.
That's really the technology we're using, because once we bring it into the home, you manage it through a refrigerant to whatever temperature you'd like.
Well, I'm trying to make a point.
Okay.
There is less heat in this boiling cup of tea than there is in my backyard pond.
Ultimately, yes.
Now, that doesn't make sense to some people.
That is
true. But that's exactly true.
That's
the principle you're working on.
That's the principle. And based on studies from the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Department of Energy, and other energy like NYSERDA and others, they rate geothermal heat pumps as the most cost-effective and environmentally friendly way to heat and cool your home.
Now, that could be true if the installation cost isn't cost a fortune.
Well, a fortune is a relative term, but it's really not a fortune.
A fortune is always that number by which, no matter how you square this, over time, it doesn't pay to you to do it.
And this is, what I say, it's one of the most cost-efficient, meaning over time, it pays. I'm always asked a lot of questions like, what's the ROI on this? Now, typically, for a standard geothermal system for a 15 to 2,000 square foot house, 1,500, 200 square foot house, 2,000 square foot, I'm sorry, it's really about 5 to 7 years, okay? But there's an ROI. And I ask them, what is the ROI for oil or gas? There is none. You pay forever. So there will be a point where you stop paying for this equipment and it continues to keep producing. Now, from a cost standpoint, it's almost about the same cost of installing the solar panels to your home. The difference is that there are now different types of financing mechanisms for solar. Okay, so right now, either you have to have a great credit score or a lot of money in the bank to get geothermal.
You're not subsidized in any way?
Not at this point. Well, actually, there's a federal tax credit of about 30% of the cost of the job. And
that's a credit. Now, that means if I have $150,000 worth of income, and so let's say I'm paying $24,000 in taxes, I get $6,000 off that bill?
So it will be 30% of the cost of the geothermal job, not 30% of your taxable income. Let's say if the geothermal system cost you $100,000, that's a big number, but for the sake of simplicity.
So I'd be able to take off $30,000.
That's correct. That's on a federal level. We've just introduced legislation at the state level, which last week on Earth Day, the Senate passed it unanimously, where you would get a 25% tax credit up to a maximum of $5,000 and also a sales tax exemption on the geothermal installations. Right now, you don't have that. Solar has that, but you don't have that. Plus, PSE&G and other utilities also have incentives. PSE&G could range from, I think, $800 to $1,500 in residential and could go up to $10,000 or so on commercial. So between the federal tax credits, once we get the state tax credits passed and local incentives, you can get close to 50% of the total cost of the unit get back to you.
So if you have a very efficient house to begin with, do you build a smaller unit?
That's correct. Because the first thing that we do, first thing I would recommend is do an energy audit to make sure that your house isn't what they call, quote unquote, leaky. So change your windows, insulation, cork your windows, make sure that the envelope is tight. So and the same would apply for solar. You don't want to put more solar panels than you need. It just costs you more. Right. So you tighten the envelope. So rather than having a 4-ton unit, you may only need a 3-ton unit, which reduces the cost. Now I'll say this. If you couple geothermal heat pumps with solar, okay, you now have what they call net zero energy, net zero emissions. Geothermal heat pumps do not emit any carbon. So as we try to reduce the carbon emissions, which has been mandated at the federal, state, local level, we're all now concerned about reducing emissions for climate change. And geothermal is the best solution.
I understand there's no carbon emission at the site.
That's correct.
But I had to, if I have to buy electricity from the utility company, I'm creating CO2 somewhere else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you couple that with solar.
But then again, you have to have batteries.
Well, I just read an article today. Tesla, I guess in another week or so, going to announce their home battery. So it's just a matter of probably a year or so before they become more mass-produced and the price start coming down. But that's the next big thing. It's going
to
be a battery storage.
Storage is the key to the
future. That is the key.
Because anything that needs to be recharged during the day and used during the night.
I'll give a fact. The sun radiates enough energy on the Earth in 1 hour to power every single building on the planet for 1 year. That is a scientific fact.
Oh, come on.
That is a fact. you can check. You can verify that one.
This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Donovan Gordon. He's the executive director of the
Long Island Geothermal Energy Organization.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back.